Welcome to Two Guys and a Question. Between them, Alan Creedy and Danny Jefferson have almost 100 years hands-on experience with funerals, funeral directors, finance, and real-life situations. Every Tuesday and Thursday, they field questions for more than 1,200 subscribers, hoping to stimulate your thinking and resolve your challenges.
This is Alan Creedy.
And this is Danny Jefferson.
And this is Two Guys and a Question.
Well, what's the question today, Alan?
You know, we got a great question today. It is, how do you return cremated remains to a family?
Oh, wow.
Interesting question, and one which I feel passionately about. But frankly, one of the things I've always loved about watching you do with your work with cremated remains is that you have already thought this through, as always. So let's start this off. Let me ask you how you return cremated remains.
Well, here's the thing. What people normally do is family will show up and they'll, anybody, receptionist or somebody, they'll come by out and they'll get the box and they'll put it on the table out front and have somebody sign it and they leave.
So I walk into the funeral home and the remains are already sitting on a table and I got to sign my documents in the hallway?
Well, somebody's got to go get them.
Yeah.
And then bring them out.
Okay.
And then they'll sign them. But yes, unfortunately, in a lot of places, that's how they do it.
And then I stick them under my arm and go back to my car?
Yep. I've seen
cow.
It happen.
Well, I have too. I'm not really surprised.
It's just frustrating.
Being dramatic.
Right. And if even in other cases where they might even take them to a different room, they will come in and have the family sign that they're receiving those cremains. And then they'll go get them and they'll maybe offer to take them out to their car or hand them to them.
Yeah.
It's nothing about that is warm.
No.
If you're the one receiving the cremains.
Well, you know, it's almost perfunctory. I want to ask you how you feel about this because it's a personal thing for me. I ever since joining this profession 40 years ago, I have felt that the body of the deceased, whether it's a body that's been embalmed or whether it's been cremated, is a sacred object to families. How do you feel about that?
Yes, absolutely.
You agree?
And one of the things that I will tell families when we're talking about cremation or burial and the ceremony of putting the cremains in a hearse and driving the hearse to the church and just the cremains in the back, we tell the family, I don't care if they're in a big box or a little box. Mm-hmm. We do the same thing. And they get it.
You know, you shared that story once with me about an Episcopalian priest that you told that to.
Yeah. This particular church, and I kind of knew it, but I kind of didn't let it sink in.
Oh, okay.
That they did not want
to get
a hearse.
Excused.
Yeah, they didn't want a hearse at the church.
Uh-huh.
And we have an ossuary, which is where the family can carry two people, four people. We have two of them.
So that's the thing that people sometimes call an urn ark.
That's correct.
Okay.
And there are several people. We saw some in Nashville when we were at National Funeral Directors Association.
Right.
That it's becoming a thing now.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some manufacturers, and I wish I could remember that gentleman's name, but they actually make some similar to the ones we have.
Yeah.
I have my main locally.
I've seen several different styles. Yeah.
So the one that has two handles we had in the hearse that day, and the priest came out and she was saying, wait a minute, what is this hearse doing here?
And these handles are like short casket bars.
It does.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, in this particular case, that one was Batesville, the Batesville maple wood casket.
Okay.
And I got those two handles from Batesville.
Okay.
And they were put on by a local carpenter.
But they were shortened.
Yes.
Okay.
So the thing of it was, is this Episcopalian priest came out, what is this hearse doing here? You know, we don't have a hearse. And I said, well, ma'am, I didn't realize that, but I've got Mr. Smith with me, and he's in the car. And she looked at me, and she said, well, I thought he was cremated. I said, well, he was, but his urn's in the car. And I said, tried to explain to her, and she was receptive that we treat it the same as if it's in a casket.
Right.
It's still his earthly body. What's the remains of it? And she said, you know, I've never thought about it that way. And I said, besides, his granddaughter and grandson are going to carry him in to the service as we follow you as you're starting the service.
Right.
And she said, you know, I kind of like that.
Yeah.
And we went into that church and still do all the time with a hearse.
So you have transferred effectively the respect and reverence that we normally treat a full body to cremated remains.
Yes. And
you attach ceremony almost to everything you do.
Even when the family, even if it's a direct cremation or a simple cremation where they either didn't have any money, mom didn't want a ceremony or whatever, that they're going to come back and get the cremains. And we will offer, do you want us to bring your father home? And they'll say, well, no, we'll come. I say, okay. They set up a time, and we have a memorial area in the funeral home. We do not have the cremains in boxes and different places all over the place. Or even
I've always been curious about that because I go in funeral homes, and it's not unusual for me to see two or even three urns, but they're not together. They're sitting on various people's desks.
Right. Yeah, well, we keep them all together.
So you call it a memorial area, and I'm envisioning like a big bookshelf.
It is. In a lot of ways. And I acquired several cremains that were there and have been there for many, many years. And David Stork, our friend in Virginia, has done a wonderful job. He has a cemetery there, actually interred all of those cremains that
unclaimed,
he had.
Unclaimed cremains.
They had a big ceremony. They invited people to come, and he said it was one of the best outreach things he had ever done.
Well, he told me that story, and he got to be a real hero for the clergy in the area. He invited clergy from all the different churches for that committal ceremony of unclaimed, and some of them were unknown.
And it turned into a profit thing with him in the cemetery because people started buying spaces there that were going to be full body.
Right. Well, that gets back to my issue, which is that this is a sacred object. People don't want it to be handled capriciously.
And you referred to this one time before that the ceremony is really what's important.
Well, one of the things I've observed, again, I hesitate to say too many good things about you because I don't want people thinking I'm blowing smoke. But, you know, the truth is, when it comes to handling bodies and families, you incorporate ceremony, maybe unconsciously, in virtually everything you do. So when a family comes to your funeral home to pick up the cremains, how do you do it? I mean, do you meet them in the hallway and just give them the box, or what do you do?
Well, as we talked on a previous podcast, this is actually taken care of at the arrangement conference where you tell the family, when you are ready to receive Mr. Smith, we're going to call you, but when you're ready to come get him, we want you to let us know.
So you say when you're ready to receive instead of when you're ready to pick up.
Right. Oh, I don't use pickup. I don't, and I don't say cremains. I say Mr. Smith.
That's interesting. So emphasizing here the use of vocabulary and semantics.
Good. Now, what happens is they'll let you know, well, we can come this afternoon at 2 o'clock.
Okay.
So this afternoon at 2 o'clock, Mr. Smith's urn, or even the simple box that he comes in, but we're going to put it in a velvet bag or something with the funeral home's name on it, and put him in an ossuary in a private area.
Okay. So
at one of the locations we had, it was an old broom closet that we turned in, just completely gutted it, took the door off, have a small table, those battery-operated, candle-like looking things.
Kind of like the minister's room in most funerals.
Right. Yeah. And you could use the minister's room if that's what you have at your funeral home.
That's exactly right.
Take the family into an arrangement area, ask them to sign for their release.
Okay.
Ask them how they're doing. Do they have any questions? Okay. Now, he's in our memorial area, and do you want to carry him home out, or do you want me to carry him out? And almost always she'll say, I want to carry him out. And they sometimes, not all the time, but a lot of times, show a lot of emotion. And then they even look, this one lady looked at me and she said, I just didn't think it would be this hard.
You know, my sense, Danny, is that if you use a 795 or a 1295 cremation company, they're not going to take this, make this effort. They're not going to do this.
Generally not, no.
Yeah, they, in fact, they probably prefer to mail the cremains to you.
Most time.
Okay. Can I tell you a short story?
Sure.
Working with a funeral director one time, he was kind of busy, and he had an urn interment at a local cemetery and asked me just to kind of ride with him. I went out there. He, family was there, and he bent down to take the AstroTurf off the grave and handed me the urn just to hold it for him. And when he stood up again, I didn't know any better, but I turned to the oldest son and said, would you like to put this in the grave? And the oldest son, of course, he was very thrilled. He did that and put it in the grave. And we got back in the hearse, and the funeral director and I, and he turned to me and he says, that was great. I would never have thought of that. But the truth of the matter is, I thought that's the way it was done.
Yeah, yeah.
I just didn't know any better.
That was
and
a
yet,
good thought.
It was a high impact on that family. I'm not taking credit. It's just I didn't know any better.
Several of the Methodist churches that we serve have got columbariums, and they've built them, and they have those cylinders,
right?
Which I don't like because, obviously, as a funeral director, they take away one point of revenue when they have those cylinders. Regardless of that, you still have to deal with it. The ceremony at the grave involves the family actually taking the cylinder themselves and placing it into their particular place. Now, you always ask, but way ahead of time, don't do this in front of a bunch of people and then say, oh, I don't want to do that. Make sure you know who's going to do it and create it as part of the ceremony.
And you have your ossuary there as well?
Absolutely. Every time.
Okay. So, folks, the takeaway for me here is incorporate ceremony, reverence, and respect in every contact you have with a deceased or their family.
Absolutely. Every time. And I will tell you, Alan, you can do it, and we can help.
Remember to send your questions by clicking the link at www.twoguysandaquestion.com. New questions are answered every Tuesday and Thursday at 4:22 p.m. Eastern Time.